Let's read together Genesis 41, verses 1 through 24. In this first section of Genesis 41, we read about the two dreams which Pharaoh had concerning the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. Genesis 41, beginning at verse 1. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each dreamed a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, Behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly 7 cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first 7, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also I saw in my dream, and suddenly 7 heads came up on 1 stalk, full and good. Then behold, 7 heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the 7 good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Well, let's look at a few background notes. Verse 1 says that Pharaoh had his dreams at the end of 2 full years. Now, does that mean that Joseph spent 2 years in prison? Or does it mean that 2 years had gone by since Joseph had interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler? Well, we can't be sure. In any case, Joseph spent at least 2 years in prison. But finally, the time arrived in God's program for Joseph to be released. Pharaoh had a couple of dreams about cows and grain. Now, there was nothing unusual in the dream about the cows coming up out of the Nile. It was normal in Egypt for cows to submerge their bodies in the waters of the Nile to escape the heat and insects, and then come up and graze in the marsh grass. What was unusual about this dream was that 7 lean and mean and very ugly cows completely ate up 7 sleek, well-fed cows. Well, the same was true of the dream about the heads of grain. Nothing unusual in the dream about 7 plump heads of grain or 7 thin heads of grain scorched by the east wind. This wind, by the way, is known as the Palestinian Sirocco. What was unusual was that the thin, scorched heads of grain swallowed up the plump, good heads of grain. Well, Pharaoh was troubled by these dreams, and none of his magicians or sorcerers or priests there in Egypt or scholars or wise men was able to interpret these dreams. Well, it was at this point that the butler finally remembered Joseph. And Joseph was taken out of prison and brought before Pharaoh, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, unbelievers cannot understand God's program for the world. Unbelievers cannot understand God's program for the world. God gave Pharaoh two dreams which outlined his program for the world at that time. Remember, Egypt was the most powerful world empire in those days. But all of Pharaoh's scholars and sorcerers, magicians, whatever, could not understand and did not have insight as to what God was communicating. Why? Because unbelievers cannot understand God's program for the world. Now, these magicians and wise men would all have been involved in the occult and have demonic connections, as the magicians did later in Moses' time. Now, what's amazing at first glance here is that some Egyptian scholar or sorcerer didn't take a guess here. After all, Pharaoh told his dreams, unlike Nebuchadnezzar in later years, who didn't tell his dream. And Daniel interpreted that dream of Nebuchadnezzar. But here, Pharaoh gives his dreams, but nobody ventures a guess. How come? I think the real reason is that God would not allow these Egyptian magicians and wise men to obtain any knowledge of his program through their demonic connections and other sources. Unbelievers cannot understand God's program for the world. That was true then, it's true today. God's program for the world is in black and white scripture, but the unbelievers don't see it. Unbelievers are blind and cannot understand because they do not know God, and therefore they cannot understand his word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Unbelievers cannot understand God's program for the world. Doctrinal or teaching point number two, believers can understand God's program for the world. Believers can understand God's program for the world. In our next section of this chapter, we will see that Joseph gives the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams with no problem. How come? Because Joseph recognized that the dreams were from God, and believers can understand God's program for the world. Now, we may not have the gift of interpretation of dreams as Joseph did, but we do have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and therefore, as believers, we can understand God's program for the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, we have a list of the believer's spiritual blessings. These spiritual blessings are for all believers. One of these spiritual blessings is understanding God's program for the world. Listen to the words of Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. "God made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth." Do you see what the Bible is teaching here? God is giving us wisdom and insight concerning his program for the world. Everything is working towards the return of Christ and the setting up of his kingdom, where all will be subject to him. And many other scriptures give us details concerning this program. Now, if you share all of this with unbelievers, they'll laugh at you. Why? Because as unbelievers, they cannot understand God's program for the world. But you can, because you are a believer, and this is one of your spiritual blessings. We don't know the date of the Lord's return, but we do know God's future program for the world. Believers can understand God's program for the world. More we could say there. Let's move to practical application. Practical application number one. Let's remember that God remembers when others don't remember. Let's remember that God remembers when others don't remember. The last verse of Genesis 40 says, "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Even though Joseph had interpreted this man's important dream, even though Joseph had specifically asked him not to forget, the butler forgot. Did you ever have this happen to you? I mean, you're really depending on someone to help you out, put in a good word for you, but they completely forget. Why does God let this happen? Why did God let it happen to Joseph? Well, one answer is our timetable is not God's timetable. You see, the butler finally did remember, but it was when it was God's time. But you know, I think another answer here is that because of this, Joseph was forced to depend more on God. God had not forgotten about Joseph, but God allowed some time to go by so that Joseph would depend only on the Lord and know that it was only the Lord who brought him out of prison and that he didn't get out of prison through his own ingenuity or pulling strings with a butler or something like this. So remember that side of the situation when you experience this disappointment of others forgetting all about you. Isaiah 64, verse 4 says, "God acts for the one who waits for him." Let's remember that God remembers when others don't remember. And practical application number 2. Let's remember to give God all the credit. Let's remember to give God all the credit. In verse 15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it." And in verse 16, Joseph said to Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Joseph gave God all the credit. Notice that Joseph didn't even say, "God will give me the answer." No, he said, "God will give Pharaoh the answer." Look also there at verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown it to Pharaoh what he is about to do." Joseph left himself out of the picture completely. Would we have done the same here? Or would we have taken a little credit for ourselves? You know, there would have been a natural tendency to triumph over all of these wise men and magicians. And remember, Joseph was a prisoner, and the natural tendency would be to make a bargain with Pharaoh. "Hey, you get me out of prison and I'll give you the interpretation of your dream." But Joseph did not bargain, and he boldly talked about the Lord to this pagan Pharaoh and took no credit for himself. This is a biblical example for us to follow. Let's remember to give God all the credit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it?" This applies to everything. This applies to your intelligence. This applies to your looks. This applies to your abilities. This applies to your possessions. This applies to your spiritual gifts. This applies to everything we have. How dare we be lifted up with pride? What do you have that you did not receive? Let's remember to give God all the credit.